I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Gene Purcell. This is Central Time.
It's getting cold here in Wisconsin. It already has been cold up in the northern part of the state, and that means one thing for a lot of people, comfort food.
And I have to tell you, it's been a little cold down here in the south, too, and for a lot of people, that comfort food means Italian food. Simple, hearty recipes that fill the belly and warm the soul. So what's your favorite Italian recipe? Do you have any questions that you would like to ask about how to become a great Italian cook? You can call in and ask our expert about your favorite Italian dish or maybe a recipe that's been passed down through the generations. 800-642-1234 or email us talk@wpr.org.
Lydia Bastianich joins us now. She's a chef, public TV personality, author, restaurateur. Her new book is Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. She co-wrote that with her daughter. She's the host of Lydia's Italy in America, which can be seen on public television. Check your local listings for the time. Lydia, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Rob, Gene, buonasera.
Buonasera. So where does you love cooking, and where does that come from in the first place?
God, I think ever since I can't remember. Yeah, I have a great time cooking. I love it. It's my profession. It's my passion. I think that it really sort of started from my very formative years. I was in a situation, my mother was a teacher, so she would be in the city and teaching. And I was about 2 kilometers away from the city in a little town with Grandma. And Grandma had this wonderful courtyard, that's where we lived. And in the courtyard, there were pens, there were chickens, there were geese, ducks. We had rabbits, we had goats, we had pigs. And I remember milking the goats and the warm milk I drank. We made olive oils. And so I remember tasting the olive oil. We made wine, the seasonal of the vegetable garden, the tomatoes, eggplant in the summer, the sweet peas in the springtime, the ripe figs in the fall. So I think that, and I was very much involved. Grandma would send me, go get the eggs from the chicken, nice warm eggs. I would bring them down. We would make pasta. We would make bread. And then go and sort of get some basil, go get some rosemary. And I would run out, get it, bring it back, and I would smell like a rosemary because there were those big, big bushes. And, I think that all of those kind of really flavors, really genuine flavors from the earth stayed with me. And through my life, I was trying, because then life has taken me on. We migrated. I left Grandma behind. In a sense, I wasn't even aware that I was not going to go back because I was a young lady. And I think all of that kind of stood in me, those moments, and I wanted to capture them, and I wanted to cook those flavors forever.
Now, your new book is called The Common Sense Italian Cooking, and you've got that great quote in this book that common sense is anything but common. Can you talk a little bit about this idea of common sense cooking, and what does that mean, really?
Well, I get often from people, I get a lot of emails, and this insecurity in the kitchen. People feel like, oh, no, they can't take food. Is something alien. Oh, I can't cook. And it's far, it's distant from that, actually. We all have a way with cooking. But I think if one could just release and use one's common sense in the kitchen, it would make it that much easier. So you take a recipe, of course, and you follow it somewhat or whatever. But then use your common sense. If you don't have peas, you might have lima beans. If you don't have rosemary, you might have sage. And kind of this letting loose in the kitchen and letting your common sense and the feeling of, I can do this. I have the sensibility. And I think a lot of people don't look in themselves for that sensibility. They have it. So I want to bring it out. I want to highlight it for them. I want to empower them that they're in the kitchen and they're the boss of the kitchen. Relax, let loose. Yes, if you're not really familiar, get some recipes to guide you, but make it happen in the kitchen.
So how did we get to this point where that idea of common sense, of taking a chance, how have we lost that?
I think because everything has been, I guess in the last 20, 30 years, big industry wants to prepare everything for us, wants to make life so easy for us, Women are at work, women maybe should be out at work, and yes, that's a great place to be, but, why shouldn't we cook as well? Men are cooking today, So I think that maybe big industry has provided a lot of those kind of skipping the logistics. So food, we get something in a plastic, wrapped in a plastic, bring it home, put it in a microwave, it's done. And I think that deprives us, it deprives our family, it deprives the children. I think the children are so far removed from really what, the source of food. So we need to get back into the basics. We need to get close to the earth, meaning close to the products as they are given to us by the earth, by whoever produces. I mean, you know, if the chicken and whatever, all of that. We need to get it in our hands, and we need to understand it. And then a kind of a common sensibility will come right out. You know, you will know what to do, in a sense. You know, you know if the chicken is slippery, or there's too much fat, or there's too much skin. You know, just cut it off, pat it dry. You know, put some salt on it and marinate it. Let it marinate. You know, this kind of little sensibility. And then when you have a whole chicken, all those bones and the wings and all of that, once you have used your breast and the legs and all of that, put it in the pot with some leftover celery stems, parsley stems, a little bit of the tips of the onions. All of that you put in the pot with some water, with some chicken bones. You got yourself a soup. You know, this kind of sensibility relating to the product, relating to the earth, and you kind of understand, you protect. It's even, you know, we're so concerned about the environment, but this is one way we can really sort of respect the environment.
That's another point you bring up. In addition to saving those chicken bones to make soup stock, what can we do? We've got that old dried out bread. I might throw it away, but I can maybe do something with it, right?
You can do 1,000 things with it. I would just, exactly. So, you know, that bread that's left over, you know, there's nothing worse than throwing food away. I think it's a sin, a big sin. And so, with the leftover bread, you can make a nice fruit pudding, a pear pudding. I have in this book, it's a pear pudding. This is the season of pears. All you need is eggs, whisk eggs, a little bit of cream, that bread that you have left over, some pears in there, some sugar, maybe some vanilla, and you bake it. How hard is that? Now, the common sense comes in here, but if I can do that with pears, why can't I do that with apples? Why can't I do that with apricots? And so on down the line. That's what I'm talking about, you know, really relating. Yes, maybe using a guidance, a recipe, but then kind of using your common sense to make that recipe your own. But with old bread, certainly making breadcrumbs, that's the simplest. But there's soups you could be make. You add the old bread to a vegetable soup. And it's, in Italian, it's called ribollita, which means reboiled. So you have a nice, dense vegetable soup. You add some of that old bread, and you reboil it once more. The bread kind of breaks into little pieces and densens that soup up, and it's delicious.
Oh, man, I'm getting hungry here. We are talking to Lydia Bastianich. She's a chef, public TV personality. Her new book is Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking.
And what questions do you have about Italian cooking? As you can hear, we've got an expert on the line, and if you've got a favorite Italian dish you'd like to share or ask about, let us know, or maybe a recipe that's been passed down through the generations of your family. Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or drop us an email, talk@WPR.org.
This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. Now we continue our conversation about Italian cooking with Lydia Bastianich. She's a chef. She's on public TV. She's got a new book. It's Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about Italian cooking or your favorite recipes. We'll go straight to the phones. We've got Bill on the line in Duluth. Bill, hi. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Hi, Lydia. Are you there?
Hi, Bill. How you doing?
Good. I'm a big fan. My wife and I watched you for a long time. We love what you've taught us. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for watching. And what is your question, Bill?
You're wonderful. Well, excuse me. We seem to have a debate in our family, and is when you're boiling your water to cook your noodles, or your pasta. You know, I've seen my dad often pour olive oil in there, and I think that you taught us not to do that now, but I didn't correct him the last time he did it, but I think if I remember that makes the oils noodle oily and doesn't allow the pasta to stick. Am I right or is he right?
You got that right, Bill. Absolutely. When you boil pasta, dry pasta for that matter, even fresh pasta, abundant water, salt, yes, because that kind of gives that little flavoring to the pasta, but absolutely no oil because the oil coats the pasta, and as you said, the sauce does not adhere to the pasta, and the pasta gets very slippery. Also, do not rinse your pasta. The best way is you put your pasta in the water, you cook it, you look at the timing. I like mine a little bit al dente, pull it out a little bit before it is cooked, and then you pull it out. You can drain it, but don't wash it, or you can just fish it out like I do and put it right in the sauce. And so that the pasta has a little sticky, the sauce adheres to the pasta, but also the pasta finishes cooking in the sauce, absorbs the sauce in, and is that much better. One word of caution, do not over-sauce it. So take half of the sauce, put it in the pan, put the pasta in there, dress it, and then you add the sauce as you need it.
Wow. Okay. Thanks a lot for the call, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, thanks for that call. And one of the questions I'd like to ask, you know, we heard Bill's question. And Lydia, I'm wondering if you, and it seems kind of basic, but are these the kinds of questions that real cooks have, you know, the real basic, how do you do X and Y? Because what we're talking about here is not rocket science exactly.
Exactly. These are the sort of the basic know-hows in the kitchen, the basic techniques of cooking, and then you apply it from there, and then you use your common sense. You heard me explain why. From here on, you know, it's your piece of information, and you can use it in whatever you do, sort of cooking pasta, putting it in the sauce, getting it more flavorful, undercooking it. You can do that with any recipe.
We'll go back to the phones now. We've got Camille in Frankfort, Michigan. Camille, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Camille.
Hi, Lydia. I would like to ask you what the key is to a good panettone, one that isn't too dry, you know, soft and moist.
Do you make the panettone, or are you asking me about buying it?
No, not to buy it. I would love to make it. I tried once a couple of years ago, and it wasn't, the consistency wasn't so great.
Yeah, it's you know, it looks simple, but it's a very difficult process.
Let me stop you, Lydia. I don't know what a panettone is. Let's start at ground zero here.
Okay. Pane is bread, but panettone is a kind of tall mushroom-looking like bread that's usually wrapped in cellophane, and it is sweet bread that has candied fruits in there, and it is always used in Italy for the holidays, specifically for Christmas and for the New Year's. Now, this goes way back, you know, when people were not as into sweets as we are now. And when the holidays came around, they had dried fruits that they saved from the summer, and they would turn the regular bread, add some more butter, add some more eggs, and add this candied fruit, and they would turn it into the sweet bread panettone for the festivities. So, now, Camille, to go back, that's not an easy, because for a good panettone, you need to raise it, let it rise at least 6 to 7 times. And that is because it is rich in butter and it is rich in eggs, and that's what gives it the moisture. So it's all about kneading. Get yourself a good recipe. This is, you know, about technique, so get yourself a good recipe, and then you knead it well. If yours is very dry, I would say it really needs either more eggs or a little bit more butter, the liquid butter. You know, you sort of liquefy your butter and you add it. And then what happens is, because these are kind of dense elements that you're adding heavy, you have to let it rise. You have to let it rise about 6-7 times and make the mass on the soft side. Don't make it very dense. Make it on the soft side, and then you put it in a form, you know, in that kind of tubular form, and the mass rises up and it makes that cap almost like a mushroom cap on top of it. Does that help you, Camille?
Yeah. You say that if it's too dry, to add probably more eggs, maybe more butter.
Exactly.
But is there a place I could find a recipe to start with that you would consider a good recipe? There are lots of recipes online,
okay.
But...
Yeah, I'll give you a website. You go there, you ask me this question, and we will send you a recipe. So it is www.lydiasitaly.com.
All right. Good luck, okay. Camille. I want to get on to another caller here. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, and before we get to the caller, I want to ask a quick question. You know, a couple of years ago, 5-10 years ago, bread machines, pasta machines, they were all the rage. And it seems like people needed these sorts of accessories to make food. In your book, you talk about, you know, you can make your own pasta, you can make your own pizza dough. And it gets back to that common sense thing. Is there a feeling now that people have to have a lot of accessories, you know, in order to make food?
Again, that is the industry, you know, trying to capitalize on fads and interests and, of course, making facilitate that with an instrument or a machine. And it works. But... it's, you know, you can go to basics and do just the same, if not even better, with the basic tools. That is, your hands, starting with your hands. So you can knead a great bread with your hand or great pasta. I think that a food processor is a great element, or a mixer with a dough hook. It's a great help in really kneading the bread dough well, and also in kneading pasta. So if you want to make pasta, you know, you have a food processor, all you put in there is flour, eggs, and a little bit of water, and you got yourself pasta. And you just let it whirl for 4 or 5 minutes. So it really does facilitate things.
Let's go back to the phones right now. We've got a call from Marty, who joins us from Bennett. Hi.
Well, good afternoon. Hello, Lydia. How nice
Hi, Marty.
To talk to you. Hello. Say, this has nothing to do with anything you've been talking about, but when else am I ever going to be able to ask you this question? My husband and I were just in Rome. We were there for 10 days. We were all over the city. We ate everywhere. And I confess we were on a budget, but we only had about 2 good meals the whole time we were there. So my question is the quality of restaurants in Rome diminishing, or do you really only can you only eat well there if you have lots and lots of money?
No, it's just you can eat well. But, you know, Rome is a tourist city. So is Venice. So is Florence. And inevitably, you will find this opportunistic operators. So the question is to come sort of do a little research before and find those places that fit your budget and that have good rating from people that have been there, that tasted it. And secondly, you know, sometimes you go in the market or I usually do that, especially I ask the salespeople, you know, where do you have lunch? Where can, you know, and sometimes they will give you good indication in those little trattorias or osterias that maybe just offer three plates for lunch are the best way to go. I love that. So, you know, it's not always about money and high prices. That is an experience as well. But you can get some good food in Italy in the little trattorias, but you have to know which ones, absolutely.
I have a question that comes from across the board from me. Our board operator, Michelle, is hoping you can give her some great ways to cook eggplant.
Oh, eggplant. Eggplant is a great vegetables to cook. Of course, again, cook it in the summer, now into the fall. I think eggplant is just about over now. So, you know, stay within season and buy the right eggplant. So what are you looking for? A nice, firm eggplant that has a nice long stem that is still green. Stay away from eggplants that have big bellies, because that will be an indication that it has a lot of seeds. And seeds, you know, that means tannin. That means that astringent, pungent flavor in eggplant with the tannin. So once you have chosen the right eggplant, the second step is to slice it and put it under salt a little bit to really remove if there is any of that sort of bitterness and once you have removed that, you put it and you let it stay there for about 20 minutes with some weight on. Then you rinse it off, you pat it dry, and then you proceed. Of course, you know, frying the eggplant, either just flour or bread and flour, It's one way. It's delicious. But today we're all conscious about how much fat and weight. But frying it, you'll get maximum of flavor, no question about it. Once it's fried, you can make it into sandwiches. You can make it a parmigiana from there. You fry it, and then you layer it with some cheese, with some tomato sauce, and you put it in the oven. You have yourself a great parmigiana. Also, once you fry the eggplant slice, a nice large slice with just flour, you can stuff it with ricotta or mozzarella and make like the rollatini, like rolled eggplant, and then you put it in the oven, you bake it, and that's another great dish. But you can also chop eggplants in little cubes now, once you have washed it and drained it, and put it in tomato sauce and let it cook in there, so it doesn't have to be fried. And you let it cook in there, it makes a great tomato sauce with eggplant in it. You can do that with meat sauce plus eggplant. Baking eggplants, another version. You take the eggplant, even the smaller eggplants, and you can kind of cut it almost like a fan. You cut the eggplant in half, and then you fan the eggplant, open the fans up, and you put some tomatoes, some cheese in there, season it, and you put it with a little bit of tomato sauce in the oven, and you get like the whole half of eggplant bake. So it's endless what you can do with eggplant.
We're talking to Chef Lydia Bastianich. She is the author of the new book, Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. Still a few minutes for your questions at 800-642-1234.
You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time. We pick up our conversation now with Lydia Bastianich, author of Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. Lydia, one of the things I loved about your book, in addition to saying we should use common sense, you say we should use all five senses as we cook. What do you mean by that?
Absolutely. You know, we learn with all our senses. We communicate with our senses. Let's use it in cooking. So what I mean by that is that, you know, visual. It's important when you buy things, when you cook, the color will tell you, you know, is it burnt? Is it ready? Is the vegetables overcooked? So, you know, look at things. Smelling is an extremely important sense in cooking. I mean, it will tell you, is the fish bad? Is the fish good? Is the meat bad? Is it burning? Is it, you know, even is it too acidic? You know, does it have the perfumes or the spice? Is it floral enough in what you want? And, you know, we collect information, of course, with all of our senses. That's collecting our smells, you know, in our memories of the food that we ate, that we loved. The kind of the smell comes back when you're cooking. Ah, this, I remember that dish. It was so delicious. So use those reference points that of things that you have stored in your memory that have been collected by your senses. And also, you know, when you really like something and you take that smell and you file it away so that the next time you have it, tactile, touching things. I mean, I love touching food. It speaks to me. Food talks to me when I touch it. I know if meat is tough. I know if the chicken is slippery and slimy. I know if fish is fresh when I press down on it. Crack a celery rib, you know, it's fresh, and so on. So all of those elements, you know, use your hand to touch it. And so it is important, all of those. Even the auditory, the listening, you know. I could be maybe at the sink, and I hear that something is crackling at the stove. I know I'm at the very bottom of the pot, and something's going to stick soon if I don't get back to it quickly. So identify those sounds, recognize them, and let them guide you, you know, your common sense, in a sense. Collect all of this in what under the heading of common sense and use it in cooking.
You know, listening to this conversation and just talking, you know, using your senses, talking about locally sourced food, all of those things, it just seems to me, as we've been talking for the last half hour or so, that this is a really good time in history to be a cook and to be interested in food.
I think, you know, you see the explosion between the television shows. Now, I started my PBS show about 15 years ago. I did my first shows with Julia Child, and then I went on. But now, you know, I mean, station after station dedicated to the art or the showmanship or the sensationalism of cooking, whatever you want to call it. But nonetheless, there's a tremendous interest in cooking. And I think people are realizing how important really food is, not only to feed us, and but it is so important to communicate. Our social, it's a social conduit, if you will. It nurtures us. It, certainly, the attention to food and eating well and being healthy, being fit. And I think that people are beginning to realize that cooking is an act of love. The people that, you know, you want somebody to enjoy it, to feel well, to be good. You know, with that plate, you know I do that. You know, I feel like, oh, I'm bringing you this plate because I want you to feel good, because I want you to grow well, and so on. So I think that a lot of parents are feeling that and are getting involved. And as I said before, men are really heading to the kitchen, and I love that.
In our last minute, Lydia, what's for dinner tonight? What are you planning on making?
I think I'm going to make a little. I had a lunch with a business lunch, and I think I'm going to make just a little spaghetti, garlic, and oil with parsley. How's that?
Keep it nice and simple. I love it. Well, Lydia, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's Lydia Bastianich. She's a chef, a TV personality. You can catch her on public TV. Check for local listings. She's an author. Her newest book is Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. She's the host of Lydia's Italy in America, by the way. That's her newest show. This is Central Time.